Blog Talk Radio. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places Network. Tonight, our program, Ask Minister Ava, is on, and we are live and ready for you to bring you education, enlightenment, information, and even some entertainment in the exciting discussions that all emanate from the body of teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's a pleasure to be here with my co-host, the inimitable Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our brilliant legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who hosts right here on Elevated Places Network each and every Tuesday night, Time for Justice. And this is a brilliant program with an array of incredible attorneys, most of whom are actually registered in the Nation of Islam. And she has an incredible circle of guests that come on, a variety, and always bringing in something new and different. Remember what we're taught, they make mischief by means of the law. So through that program, A Time for Justice, Tuesday nights at 7 Central, you will learn how to maneuver through this falling and unraveling system. And so we look forward to getting in motion because we have a very, very special program tonight that's the result of a tragic loss. And at the same time, there is an opportunity to continue to bring the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when our community gathers. And I want to thank my co-host for putting tonight's program together, and we'll get to that very shortly. I'm sure you're going to find it very engaging. And I want to remind all of you to visit me at MinisterAva.com coming up on the 27th of December, a week from Monday, rather. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right, because this is the 27th of December. On Monday, the 27th of December, we will host the final chapter of, and that is going to be an incredible evening with some sparkling guests and surprises, but part 6 of our master class, Weapons of Self-Destruction, will air via Zoom on the 27th of December at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 p.m. Central. And you can go to MinisterAva.com to register. We have our powerful Final Call newspaper, this week's issue, Up with Jesus, Down with Santa. We cannot deviate from the need to withhold our spending as a tool in the fight for justice. as the boycott enters the sixth year and continues to grow. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. And with that, I'm going to turn the mic over to my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. Once again, we're back in my hometown, and we're back on a wonderful Thursday night, and we are always so excited to be here on this show. I mean, this is the show that we get elevated, that we spark conversation, that we hear not only from the callers, the guests that come on this powerful and magnificent show, and we're so, so grateful that we are in the elevated places, you know, that we can be in the elevated places, because the places that we have been, a lot of times we're in the valleys and we're in the lows. And I just want to take a moment, Dr. Ava, as, you know, we may not necessarily celebrate the holidays, we in the Nation of Islam, but I want to say something for all of those that are out there that are celebrating, that are, you know, having this jolly, jolly Christmas and having these wonderful celebrating, going out and getting presents and gifts. I really want you to remember that there are people, as you're loving on your loved ones and getting presents from family and loved ones, that there are people out there that do not have families. There are people out there that do not have loved ones. There are people out there that are not going to take a holiday or take a break or take a vacation to enjoy their life because they are struggling. They are desolate. They are homeless. They are in mental, having issues and traumas and a lot of things going on. So as you are in this whatever wonderful spirit, remember to use that joy and that spirit to uplift those that may not be as fortunate, that may not have a loved one, that may not have a family. If you're going to celebrate it in the right spirit. That's why we say upward Jesus, and that is the love of Jesus, and downward Santa. We're not into the commercialized, but we are in the spirit of love and giving to those, of course, less fortunate. And the best thing that you can give them, the best, is divine guidance. Divine guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that divine guidance you can hear, you know, every week, and you can get that divine guidance every week, and you can already start with getting some of the guidance and the teachings from our sister, Minister Ava, on MinisterAva.com, that gives you a deeper insight, and even going into master classes on these wonderful, profound teachings. But we also invite you to go back and hear now the divine guidance that is so prevalent, so needed, so on time for us this day, in this time which we are living, and that is the criterion to understand where we are as it relates to this pandemic called COVID-19. So you can hear that address at NOI.org from the July 4th, 2020 address, the criterion. And not only that, you can come and learn how to self-improve yourself. Self-improvement is the basis for community development, which we are trying to develop a safe and decent place to live. 7:30 p.m., go to NOI.org and come back for the life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan every Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, NOI.org. Or you can go now and visit one of your local mosques or study group. Come back Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. and hear more of Farrakhan Speaks. But, it's just so exciting, Dr. Ava, because we know that we're not looking for Christmas, but we are in a wonderful season. We're in that Savior's Day season. So we're just excited about Savior's Day, to be able to go not only to the Windy City, but the city where our national headquarters is, Mas Mariam. And I just want to give a shout out to Sister Yvanka for the beautiful pictures that she's posting. Brother Kareem, the beautiful videos and pictures that you are posting of our national center with that beautiful, bright star and crescent. I saw a picture recently, Dr. Ava, with the star in the heavens right above our star and crescent on Mas Mariam. And we're going to take a journey there February 26th and 27th for our annual Savior's Day event with an address on the 27th from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So as you're looking for December 25th, we are looking for February 27th. So we're on a journey to get to that day and to celebrate Savior's Day. And as I get ready to move on, Dr. Ava, I want to touch on two very serious things, Dr. Ava, that I need to touch on right before I go. I was asked tonight to come to an event, to ask to be there for security because they was going into a community neighborhood, a park. It was dark at night. They had it lit up real nice and real beautiful because they wanted to take back their community. They wanted to let the community come out and give food and meet your neighbor and meet your neighbor and know one another. And I was there being security and doing the perimeter and looking. And I said, there's no threat. Nobody's going to come harm, even though there had been some shootings. They're not going to outwardly come to you all. But I just wanted to make sure the perimeter was okay. But what I noticed, Dr. Ava, there was a little park, and all these little children were running back and forth, back and forth. Now, it should be in an environment where the children were safe to run, and we know that the neighborhood is a safe place. Yes. But I noticed there was a lot of children running without adult supervision. There was a lot of children moving around without their parents. And I just started to think when I noticed this small sample, then I was like, it's sad for me to know that maybe that this may go on when they're somewhere else. So when we have the loss of our children and we can't find our children or they're getting snatched up by predators, we need to have a better eye and a more careful eye, not only our children on the playground, but our children in the schools, our children in the community, our children, what are they eating, what are they reading, what are they receiving, because that leads me to another situation, Dr. Ava. When I got a phone call when I was in L.A. From my son's mother, and I was like, you know, when that call comes over the phone, I was like, what? And we got a distress, disturbing call from a teacher, and I told my son, I said, this is not the behavior that you were raised. So I showed up at his school. Yeah. But before I showed up at his school, Dr. Ava, the teacher told me, he said he was worried about what we were going to say for him calling us. We was appreciative. We was thankful. We was gracious that he even informed us what was going on with our son. But he let us know that he was worried because it made me know that he was thinking that we was going to go off on him and snap on him. I was like, wow, that's a very interesting thing that the teacher will be worried to call the parents about something going on with their children because he's worried about what the parents will say to him about him even calling. And then I told him, well, I'm going to be at that school on Monday morning at 9 a.m. And I was at that school on Monday morning at 9 a.m. And when I showed up in the class, he was like, wow, you showed up. I'm like, what did you think I was going to do? And, you know, I went into my son's class, and his weightlifting class was there, spent time with my son. And as I left, the teacher was like, we need more teachers to show up. We need more teachers. I mean, parents to come check on the students. And it made me think, Dave, how often are our parents involved directly with our children? And how much is going on in the school system that we don't even know about because what we see at home may not be a reflection of what's going on while they're in the killing fields or around other children that may not be of like mind. That's why Muhammad University of Islam need your support to make sure that we have independent, righteous instructions in schools for our children so they can grow up right and that you know that those that are teaching your children are just a phone call away because we will make sure that the parents are involved with their children's lives at MUI to make sure that we produce a better child who will eventually become a wonderful adult in civilization. So those are just two things I noticed just in this recent week about our children that we just need to have an eye on because as we go into this conversation tonight, Dr. Ava, it's all about, as we remember, 2008 Savior's Day is all about the youth. It is all about our precious youth. So back to you, Dr. Ava.
That's right. Yes, sir. Now that's a wonderful narrative. And you know the reason the teacher was worried because in this time of violence, and we're going to actually get into that at the core of tonight's program, the violence in the community, the violence we commit on each other, the violence the police visit upon us, the race hate crimes. But parents are now, we're now in about the third, well, the second generation of the purposeful destruction of the black family unit. And from the time the welfare system was instituted, this has been in progress. And so you first remove the male authority figure. That's the first thing you do to start tearing down a family, is you take away the father. And then the mother tries to be both parents. Then you start to have role reversal. But what you have are parents who are younger. You not only have a 75% unmarried couples in the black community, and of course across America, the whole institution of marriage has been destroyed. And so you have millions and millions of children growing up in single parent households, and it's hard on the parent because you have to earn a living, keep a roof over the family's head. And so this actually affects, it impacts not only your energy level, but your thinking, your level of patience. And oftentimes when you have these young parents who get a call from the school, they come down ready to fight. And
that's right.
You instantly see, you know, why you're having such a problem with the student. And so when they encounter a parent like yourself, that's just so rare. And I'll just have to share this real quick. You know, we have our executive council meetings in the gymnasium at the National Center at MUI. And yesterday I stepped out of the meeting and I looked into a classroom, and this was in the afternoon. And so the girls, we have the boys in the morning, the girls in the afternoon. And I was watching this little group of girls, probably around the first grade, so adorable in their blue uniforms and their little berets with the little red ribbons on them. And I just looked around and looked at the school, how clean it is, how peaceful. I looked into a classroom, and the instructor was talking to the students. Everyone is so peaceful and enjoying, both the teacher and the students are enjoying the experience. And I actually had that same experience as a child. And I say that
wow.
to say that by nature, if we're left alone, that is how we live as black people. It's the intrusion of God's enemy into our affairs. And now the big trick, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned black people against, the hypocritical and deceptive offer of integration. And it's integration that has brought us to this point. But we thank Allah God for his mercy, because all of that is coming to an end. So with that, we're going to hear from our legal contributor before we go into the tonight's program. And Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava Muhammad and Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. And as listening to your conversation, this is just so impactful regarding the, you know, the purposeful destruction of the black family unit. You know, because we did a show entitled The Denial of Constitutional Rights to Blacks in America, and it really was there.
Yes.
That show is something that is looking at the legal connections between what the denials of these constitutional amendments, such as the 13th Amendment, which allegedly abolished slavery, and the 14th Amendment, which everybody's talking about with so much due process rights. But we looked at the connection that has into what we're suffering today, you know, this characteristic of white supremacy still being alive behind these amendments. And it really, I was reading Brother Abdul Rahman's book, I Walked with the Great Ones, and he referenced how slavery And this is why it's so important that we look at this legal issue, because he says that slavery has – what slavery has done to us is still prevalent today. He said the drive-by shooting, the drugs, the gangs, all of it can be traced back to slavery. So, you know, we're just really looking at some of that. And I encourage the listeners to tune in this Tuesday, because we're going to pick a time. We have Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, the general counsel for the Nation of Islam, last Tuesday, as well as Sister Judge Nichelle Muhammad and Brother Michael K. Muhammad. And we really enjoyed the conversation so immensely. And even our sister, don't let me forget, our sister Minister Ava Muhammad actually came in and joined the conversation as well. So it was an awesome show. But I just wanted to just chime in on what you all were saying from the legal standpoint I'm looking at today. There was a seminar regarding, it was called Are the Kids All Right? With a question mark. And it was discussing a case called Jones versus Mississippi. Now, this particular case is a case that talks about juveniles receiving life without parole. And so it was a seminar because apparently in 2020, this issue has been back before the Supreme Court. And so in this seminar, these white females talking about, are our kids all right, discussing these youth who have been sentenced to prison, life without parole. These are people under the age of 18. In discussing the case, they talked about the 2016, they tried to do some reform supposedly because there were 2,800 people in the country sentenced to life imprisonment. And so they talked about how 61% of these are black. And then they go on in the conversation and they talk about how the numbers are increasing because now it's 74%. That are black. And, you know, some, there was some reform, some of the people's like sentences got commuted. But one of the things I think is so imperative that we look at is just that in discussing these issues and discussing these people, as they were calling them, they looked at things like, do these young men and women, are they incorrigible? The question of whether or not they are permanently corrigible, meaning, you know, just unredeemable. They talk about how the court looks at whether or not they have irretrievable characteristics and traits or irredeemable, you know, and then they talk about the capacity for rehabilitation, whether or not our youth, you know, should ever be released from prison. So we got to really look at this. And the discussion you were talking about with the MUI and Brother Terrence, you being such a major part of your son's life and, you know, of course, how you're impacting the community as well. This is our job because, again, this seminar was called How Are the Children or are the Kids All Right? And I don't think these people are really concerned about our children. So I just wanted to, you know, let your listeners know about that particular issue we saw. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, alaikum salam. They never stop defining the issue and identifying the problem. And until we stop them from doing that, this is going to continue. You know, permanently incorrigible, which you may as well say, you know, black folks by nature are criminals.
That's right.
You know, and are the children all right? You know, we have to ask, and I have to say this right now, you know, one of the great assets to the Nation of Islam is Torchlight Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Brother Donnie Muhammad, Sister Dr. Cynthia Muhammad, Torchlight Academy is one of the oldest charter schools in North Carolina, and it is recognized around the country for its achievements. It is such an incredible institution. I actually, when my children were young, my husband and I were trying to figure out how could we move down there temporarily so that our children could go to Torchlight Academy. They are so good. They are so brilliant. They are so dedicated as Muslims, they're very charitable, they're creative, they're business people, you just name it. Just a real-life power couple, Dr. Cynthia and Brother Donnie. And they have been opening other charter schools. So now, it's a threat. It's a threat to the enemy, the work that they are doing. And so now they're under siege. I was speaking with them today. They have a lawyer, but they are being threatened with closure unless they turn in some demonstration of this little questionable list of things that they're not doing. And I listened in on a hearing today at the North Carolina State Board, and I'm listening to this white woman talking, and I just wanted to come through the phone, okay?
Yes.
And just choke her to death, because she was giving this talk about protecting the children of our great state, tobacco plantation state, the state of North Carolina, where they have lagoons filled with pig waste, which has now by law, pig waste is toxic by law.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So you can't import it. You can't bury it. So they put it in little lakes. And
that's
the
right.
Only salvation North Carolina ever had is the HBCUs and the black businesses and black education, and they're doing everything they can to stop it. So I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I'm probably going to be coming to you all probably in the next week. We'll highlight this battle on our program. But all of us who claim to be with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if you're with him, at some point you get to taste what he lives with on a daily basis.
Come on, say that.
You experience what it is to be an outlier. You to be Ooh. On the outside of everything, to be falsely accused, to be defamed, to suffer through someone trying to destroy your reputation because you're doing God's will. So all of these things are coming to surface because we know that these are literally the last days of God's enemy on this earth. And you see him sending these tornadoes. You see the destruction that the God and his Christ are sending down because of this demonic effort of depopulation with this deadly vaccine and these boosters. And because so many of our people remain deaf, dumb, and blind, or hear the truth and won't respond, they keep lining up and going back. What will shut the enemy down is if we stop yielding to their cry. It's in the Quran. He will say on that day, I had no authority over you. I only called you and you came.
That's right.
I can't help you. I cannot even help myself. And we're witnessing this. They have no power against the God. All of their systems are crumbling. Their vaccine plan, the divine wrench, was thrown into it July 4th, 2020. And so this is why they have to keep coming back, shooting up the same people over and over again. Because they never expected to meet this resistance. They never expected a black man in America to say to the leaders in Africa, before the thing came out, don't let them bring those vaccines up in your country. And most of them have followed that guidance. And that is why the whole continent of Africa, COVID is barely there. And the only little areas having a problem are the ones that let the vaccine in. Why would we, a melanated people, people living in the sun, take a vaccine when the sun kills the virus on sight? But I'm way out there. Let me pull back. But thank you, Sister Pamela, Sister Attorney Pamela, and Brother Terrence. I'm going to quickly turn this mic back over to you so we can get into the core of our program.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And, you know, it's a wonderful conversation. And two things before I bring on our wonderful and our powerful guest tonight. I did want to mention, Dr. Ava, is another funny thing that I forgot to say about the school system. I got a call today, and I got invited, and I don't even know if they really knew who I was or am. But a friend of mine had her daughter call me because they wanted a guest speaker for MLK. And I thought, oh, okay, well, call me. And she was talking as though I was confirmed. And when I talked to her, this is a black lady, but next thing you know, she put on another lady, which was a white lady, and they was talking, basically, Dr. Ava, they wanted me to come for Martin Luther King to talk about civil rights to at a Hebrew school, basically Jewish white children from the grades of 6th to 8th grade for an hour. They want, and they say, tell the real about civil rights and the Jewish involvement. And I was like, y'all don't know my last name. And then they said they don't pay me. So I want to just say we're going to hold that off until that happens, and I want to let y'all know the results of that. I just had to put some comment in. I said, did y'all ask me to come teach some white Jewish children? Okay. That was hilarious. Yeah.
Yes,
but
sir.
Anyway,
I can't wait.
Me either. But tonight we are blessed. We are blessed. You may know this beautiful city. It's interesting that we're having this conversation because this year I was working with a brother named Justin fighting against a pipeline, the Bahia pipeline in Memphis. And Memphis has such rich soul, and Memphis is that school of Lemoyne. And we've been to Memphis so many times, and it's a beautiful city. And there was this great, great brother. You know, every city or a lot of cities have some great artists that come out of that city, and they're known for great artists. And we just recently lost a great artist in our brother, Young Dolph, hip-hop artist, and it hit the city of Memphis. And Young Dolph, you know, as we remember Nipsey Hussle, who was doing so many positive things in L.A. with STEM and the development in the area, he was doing so much. Young Dolph was doing so many things in the city, and there was so much love for our brother in the city of Memphis. And we hurt that we have lost our brother at the age of 36, and he had a wife and children and such a loving family. And today in Memphis, they had a memorial for our brother. And, you know, I reached out to my brother who I worked with on the security for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's also a hip-hop head like I am, who also works in protocol with me, my brother, Brother Kareem Ali. And I called him. I said, we got to have a show. Since today was the memorial for Young Dolph, you need to come on the show. And then he said, I would be honored, but before I come on, the one who needs to come on and should be on is the representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in that city, our brother, student minister, Abdul Mutakir Muhammad. And we wanted to have him on, and he gave such a beautiful representation of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the memorial. Because, and I say that, and I thank him for his words, because, Dr. Ava, the memorial was, it was one of those memorials that was raw and uncut. There was no censoring buttons. Everybody basically said what they wanted to say. So after hearing that and coming back to the words of our brother, he gave guidance, gave good words that was needed, because there were some things that happened later on today. And we just know that we have the answers and we have the solution. So I just want to give our brothers the greetings and welcome to your show, Elevated Places, as Dr. Ava of As-Salaam Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Good to see you. Good to hear you. Yes, I'm wondering if Brother Kareem is there too.
I'm searching for him on the screen.
Yeah, I think both of them are on. But Brother Student Minister, yes, ma'am. So we just want to welcome you to the show. And, you know, I guess you know, I can just immediately go into, it's really two questions, that we want to just jump right into this conversation of, you know, how was it today being at the memorial? And we can come back to the impact of what this young man meant to the city of Memphis.
Yes, sir. First, Brother Terrence, to you.
Yes, sir.
And my my sister's student minister, national spokesman, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and our beautiful attorney, sister, please forgive me, I forget her name. Thank you all for having us on the program today in Elevated Places. The program was a beautiful program.
Praise be to Allah. We're happy to have you.
I'm just listening to my sister, Sister Ava. I mean, I was just so happy to hear you. And when you said you want to come through that phone, I'm just laughing. I'm sorry, because I can sense that they just lucky. They don't know. She really meant she want to come. So I enjoyed listening to you all. The program was a great program. And Brother Terrence, you said it right. It was literally uncensored in every aspect of that. I mean, it was loud. I mean, I thought I was going to float out of there, brother. They were lighting it up in there and all of that. And you had the many different artists that were there. And some of them I had to ask Brother Kareem, who is this one and who is that one? But you could tell they had the entourages and all, and they were there. Dr. Harrington, really the mayor for life in Memphis, opened the program, and a beautiful pastor, Dr. Earl Fisher, made the prayer and kind of set the tone for the program. The beauty of it was everybody who spoke talked about the beautiful things of Young Dolph, in that it wasn't about like his actual dollars or money or things of that nature, but because of the vision that he had and how he was elevating people. And all of them, one young brother, the comedian, spoke of how Dolph, because he did a video with Dolph, now he's kind of blown up and everybody is calling him. And because of what Dolph did for him, he could now really look after his family. But the most catching thing to me was young Dolph III, his son, Adolph Thornton III, who after everything, almost at the end, he grabbed the microphone and he said, if anybody is worried about my father passing, don't worry. It's all right, because I'm going to grow up to be a great man. You know, and I mean, it's just touching to hear him say those things. I mean, he literally said it. He was trying to calm the audience and say, don't worry, it's all right, because I'm going to grow up to be a great man. So I just think that it was a great program. Am I still on?
Oh, excuse me. I was mute. No, I was muted. Now, you know, and it's interesting. You know, and it is interesting that you say that, because the comedian, the brother that came, said, you know, he got $5,000 being in the video, and he was riding around and driving his girl's car, and he was going through it. And he said some raw stuff earlier, but you did say the beauty of what you just said is that his son, out of all of what they said, that his father had set such a great example for him, that he knew that he was going to grow up to be great, and he knew that he was going to be destined to be somebody. In the midst of all of, like I said, all of what was going on, he knew that he was going to be grow to be great. And somebody at our sister from Memphis said he's only, what, 7 or 8 years old?
Yes, sir. And see, that goes to what Dr. Ava was talking about. See, all of our children instinctively know they are destined to be great. And someone comes and plucks them or puts a needle in their brain to make them to think other than that. But they know instinctively they are to do something great. And if that idea in them can be nurtured and guided, then all of our children would do whatever it is that God has called for them to do. Well, we do have an enemy that does not want to see that, you know.
I bear witness to that.
And so there, I hear the voice of Kareem, Brother Kareem, since you on. You know, that first question, you know, we asked, you know, how was it there? But give the audience, because, you know, some of the audience don't know, like, okay, who is this Dolph, what is a young Dolph? Who is a young Dolph to Memphis?
Well, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
First and foremost, I most certainly want to thank Dr. Ava Muhammad, our national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and yourself, Brother Terrence,
you.
And all of the partners that are working on such a wonderful show, Elevated Places, to host myself and my beloved Minister Abdul Mudak here. Very grateful and honored to be on this platform.
We're honored to have you.
Yes, ma'am. So, Brother Terrence, ask me your question again as it relates to that. Oh, you wanted to know who is Dolph? Who is Dolph to Memphis?
Yeah, and for the callers that don't know, they may not be into the hip-hop world. They may not know who he is. They may not have known that he just recently his life was taken.
Right. Well, young Dolph was a beautiful brother that stemmed out of the hip-hop community in Memphis, in an area in the city of Memphis, which we call the South Side of Memphis or South Memphis, in a project area called Castalia Homes. And that's where he grew from, and he grew up in Castalia Heights on the South Side or the South Memphis area of Memphis. And so Dolph was this brother who started out his rapping in the trap world, or he started out his rapping through mixtapes. And a lot of us didn't hear Dolph because he wasn't mainstream. He wasn't on your regular radio station. But for those who understand how mixtapes work, it's considered to be in the underground world. And those who are really have their ears to the streets or really have their ears to just different types of music, they listen to all of these underground artists. But young Dolph had something unique about his voice. He had something unique about his hustle that was impactful to young brothers and sisters in the streets. But what was so unique about young Dolph, it wasn't his impact towards the street that gravitated people. He also gravitated a lot of us who are, you know, quote-unquote spiritual or religious, because one thing about trap music or hustle music, all of us find ourselves in some sort of a hustle, even in our day-to-day operations. And so when you hear the music about coming from the bottom and rising to the top of a situation, it does something for the soul when you're in a position where you're doing the same thing. We do that in the mosque where we start in one position in the mosque, and we gravitate toward a higher position when we do certain things in the community. So young Dolph affected a lot of people in his music. And then he grew from his music, and he expressed himself in his efforts and philanthropy throughout the city of Memphis. Young Dolph was a brother who loved his city. He loved his community. He loved his family. And he always found himself in Memphis trying to do things to give back to the city. He did an initiative with his own children. Every year for his children's birthday, he would buy up properties every single year so that this would be a portfolio of streams of revenue for his children. He would speak his auntie Rita, who was diagnosed with cancer, who he loved so much. He would go in and out of a West Cancer Center in Memphis, and he would speak to the staff and thank the staff for their support in helping his aunt recover from cancer. And he would also donate and give to that particular organization that would help aid cancer victims.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Hamilton High School. That's where he graduated high school from. And so he would always be found coming to the school and speaking to the youth and encouraging the youth to be better than the street life and to, you know, take responsibility for themselves to thrive in the things that they had a passion for. And he would also make contributions to his school. And he was beloved, such a beloved individual throughout the hip-hop world. Rappers such as 2 Chainz and Rick Ross and Gucci Mane and Snoop Dogg, they all loved Young Dolph. And one of the beautiful highlights of today, Brother Terrence, is when we saw the video clipping No Limit rapper C Murda, who has been locked up in prison for some time. But Young Dolph was a fan of his. He was a fan of No Limit, and No Limit was the rap group that inspired him to be the independent young man, mm-hmm. and the independent young artist to own his own masters. So No Limit was the rap group with Master P and C Murda that inspired him. And so Young Dolph wanted to meet or speak to C Murda. And so the singer Monica arranged that for Young Dolph, and Young Dolph had an opportunity to connect with C Murda, and C Murda was just overjoyed by the sincerity of his spirit and his love toward him, mm-hmm. and he was compelled. And so Young Dolph was a brother who affected so many people because of the goodness of his heart and his willing desire to make others around him better.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, and that raises, Brother Minister, I want to ask you a question, because one of the things that, you know, Brother Kareem just, you know, he just said about C. Murda, you know, it's the beauty. It was a beautiful thing. C. Murda in prison, you know, having a life
right,
sentence.
In prison.
And in prison and calling and speaking so he can say something for Young Dolph. And Young Dolph had reached out to him while he was in prison. And as I was watching the services, and like I said, this, you know, if you go back on YouTube over Revolt, you can see all the language. But I sat back, though, and I said, well, what would the minister do if he was in there? The minister would say, why are y'all cursing? Y'all, what is this language? What is going on? The minister would sit back and see the beauty. Like when I saw young people dancing on stage, they was dancing to some music, and the music had some language in it. But the minister would have seen the creativity of the young people. He would have seen the beauty of the young people. And I just want to see, you know, as you represent the minister, what did you see in the midst of that? And it was a beautiful display of the Muslims that came out. And I thank you that under your leadership, the believers came out, the brothers and the sisters in a beautiful garment. I saw some pictures of you greeting different ones. You really did a wonderful job of the representation of the minister. What was your spirit, you know, and what did you see today at the memorial?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the young people that were dancing. I was there with Brother Ilya Rashad and Brother Dimitri. So I told him, I said, come on, man, let's learn how to do that, you know, and let's learn how to stand up on one toe and then kick the other leg backwards and forward. Brother, it was just magnificent what they were doing. You know, it was magnificent. I mean, our people are so, they're so beautiful. Yeah, you can see, you know, bad word here or there, and, you know, their pants hanging down to the knees and all of that. But when you get past all of that, it is just pure beauty and brilliance. I mean, these dances that they were doing, you know, I know I'll probably make it 3 minutes. You know what I mean? That's about it. I could, you know, I mean, to do those type of dances, and they all take turns and those things. So I was there trying to learn how they maneuver. Because one of the things that I see, these are people we have to communicate with. And if I have to speak to them and teach them, I have to understand their language and their way. So I was there just learning and enjoying what I was seeing and hearing. So C.C. Murda and the things that they were saying, one of the things that really stuck out to me was Young Dolph being an independent artist. And that they said that there were record labels who tried to sign him. But he refused, and he remained an independent artist, and it gave him the freedom. And then at the end of the program was so many artists that came on this video who were talking about how he empowered them. And they had their language Dolph Forever and Paper Route Empire, something that they were saying, but it was their jargon. And so I was just there trying to learn and enjoy what I saw and learning how to communicate with our young people, because they look different from us. And we didn't notice that. They kind of, you know, they don't want to hear 2-hour lectures, you know. We got to put it in Twitter language and make it 18 minutes or something. So we got to learn how to speak to them. So I enjoyed myself, brother, except for they were smoking it loud, man. I was like, man, I don't know how I'm about to pass. It was beautiful, brother. I mean, it
and
had
the
that
math
place
wasn't working.
Up, but
the math wasn't working at all.
No, sir, not for that, you know. So, and it's been so long since I've been in something like that, but it was a beautiful display, a beautiful display of our people, how we are trying to show love and express love in a society like this.
And you know, and one thing you said, Brother Minister, and I have to do a commercial break. The teaching is 2.0. Twitter sayings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan,
yes.
Volumes 1 and 2. The teaching is 2.0. When you said it, you can't do no long orders, but Brother Kiyom got our Minister Farrakhan into the digital world with Twitter, and, you know, he was doing the Facebook and he was doing the Instagram, but the Twitter, he had to get them down. His answers had to be in so many 140 characters. And so it's amazing as we see how Minister Farrakhan got into the digital world and gave so many profound answers on Twitter that we have volumes and volumes of books. We only got two of the volumes of the Teaching 2.0 from the Minister Farrakhan answering the questions, and that is very key that we have to be able to be succinct in our response to our young people and give them right to the point. We can't go and go to the moon and go to Pluto and then come back with an answer.
No, sir.
You know, we have to be very precise, but I also wanted to go and add on to, you know, can you kind of go to the ending of your speech about what you offered about the decent community that you offered? Because Memphis, you might want to talk about what Memphis, you know, the state of Memphis. And I heard that Memphis right now is the number one murder capital. So as we
That's
see
right.
the killing of our brother, talk to us about the state of Memphis and what we have to do to help our brothers and sisters in Memphis.
Yes, sir. What we wanted to do was, what we were told, I did not go to the private funeral. They had the private funeral service, and the complaint that came out that I was told was some of the family from Jamia and others, you know, they wanted someone to say something to the hip-hop community concerning the killings and all of that, and they didn't sense that was coming out of the funeral service. So we wanted to take it upon ourselves to try to instill in them the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and making our community a safe place to live. However, we were trying to say it in a way to invite others to come and help, because one of the things that our community is going to have to do, Memphis is in a bad state. They were shooting back and forth. When Dolph was killed, they started killing and all of these things. But one of the things about Tennessee is a Republican state, a red state. And the majority of your Democrats or blue, if they say, is in Shelby County, which is where Memphis is. It's West Tennessee. Everything else is Republican. So they believe in guns and all of this, and they passed a law that you don't even have to have a permit to buy a weapon in Tennessee now. You can just go buy a weapon. And you know, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ava, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said was, if you give a fool a gun, the fool going to shoot himself. And so if you look at our community, that's exactly what's taking place. But it's masked under testosterone and all of these things. So now, if there's some dollars handed out from the government to do something, then you see the leaders all running, trying to get certain type of dollars to do this. They literally had Brother Terrence in Tennessee, in Memphis, in Shelby County. They had a gang czar, and the gang czar wasn't white. And actually, the gangs I wasn't Democratic. It was, and so, I mean, it's funny how you want to have a gangs that never doesn't know anything about gangs. Those type
Come
of
on.
Things go on in Tennessee. So what has to take place is we have to be the ones in the trenches and in the streets. We have met with gang members, so-called gang members, street organizations. We have had those meetings and spoken with them. We have given them Qurans, the vice lord who said that they were vice lords, and we told them what that meant and talked about the vice lords in Chicago who changed, and the conservative vice lord with Pepilo and all of them and those things that they did, and they turned that around. And we're trying to get them here to do the same. For the most part, the leaders are really not talking to the young people in the street. They're basically talking at them. And so you
right.
know how young people are. They can feel you. They can feel you in a
right.
matter of seconds, and then they don't want to have anything to do with you. So it's a campaign that we're going to go on now. We're going to try to do a Stop the Killing tour throughout the city and hit some of these areas and do that. Because that's what it's going to take us actually literally getting in touch with them and talking to them.
Yes, sir.
This is, this is getting powerful. And you know, it's almost like I want to do another commercial break. Because this past Sunday, our brother, Student Minister Ishmael, the National Assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, was speaking at Mas Mariam, and he gave a shout-out to Kanye and Drake for what they did. Because I was in L.A. last Thursday, and I was in there when Kanye and Drake put on their concert in L.A., but the thing, I didn't go because there was a lot of conversation in the streets about there was a respect for Larry Hoover, but they said, this is L.A., this Crips and Bloods, and they said, y'all coming raising money for him from in Chicago in L.A., but he ain't leaving no money here. So, you know, it's very interesting, Brother Minister, that you talked about, you know, us going in the streets and dealing with the street organizations and the gangs and trying to curtail. Because the reality, I heard some commotion went on after the memorial today, and the streets are still hot, and the streets are really, really still hot, even at a memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yes.
And Brother Kareem can help me more with this. We had just left, and as I was leaving, I saw this police officer in a plain car come around the corner, 90 miles an hour. And the other police were trying to stop him because they didn't know he was a police officer. He jumps out of the car, puts on his bulletproof vest, gets in the car, and takes off again. So at that time, then Brother Kareem calls me and tells me that, because you have to be wand and everything to get in the building. So in the parking lot, somewhere out there, there was a shooting. And Brother Kareem could elaborate on that more, Brother Kareem. Are you still there?
Yeah. You got to come off mute.
His line
you,
is
yes,
open.
Sir. So, Brother Minister, Brother Minister, let me say this, and let me say this to you, Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence. Dolph was a beautiful brother in the city of Memphis. He was beloved by the city, by the common folk of the city because of his service in the city. Out of all, we have several top artists that are on and at the top of the hip hop charts right now. But there was no other artist in the city that was at the top of the charts that served Memphis and gave back to Memphis more than Young Dolph. So the people in the community, they loved Dolph, and so when he was killed, it hurt a lot of people. It pained a lot of people, Dr. Ava, in the city. A lot of people were hurt, angry, and upset. And so the enemy always throws different ties of who may be behind the shooting or behind the murder or behind the death. So with that being thrown out there, various different groups and people were angry and they wanted to retaliate on what they may have thought or what they may know. We don't know. But from the day that he died and over the weekend, over 15 murders hit in the city. And it got a little wild because they shot up. We have two major malls in the city, the Old Court Mall and the Wolf Chase Mall, and they shot up both of those malls. And so what's happening is that that hurt and that frustration and that pain and that anger is still lingering. People are on the edge over the murder of Dolph. And so even today, after a beautiful memorial, you still had friction among certain individuals. And so the protocols from the arena was that you couldn't bring a weapon into the arena. But, you know, you had several guests who parked in the VIP parking area, so they left their guns in their cars. And so whatever tension and frustration and beef that they may have had toward the end of the program, when they got to those vehicles, they pulled out those guns. And so they began to, you know, to shoot. And we were just getting our principal, Minister Muthakir, in his vehicle up from the loading dock. And just as he made a left turn to exit, the shots broke out.
They broke out.
And so it goes to show you that we have a lot of work to do, because the city needs healing, because the city is hurting. One of the things that's happening in the city and that we've seen in the city is that that overall lack of love in the streets. What's happening all around the country is there's just a culture of trap culture, drug culture, all of these different negative cultures being branded among our youth. But love for self, unity, and community is not being branded. And so, you know, we have to go back to the example that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us when we seen him go among our people into the streets. And he went among the worst communities in Chicago, South Side, and West Side and other cities.
West Side.
But what did he go with? He wasn't armed with any guns. The brothers wasn't armed with any guns. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was armed with love. And it's that love, that perfect love, that will cast out all of our fear. And that's the same love that we were going to have to take in the streets of Memphis and all of our cities where we are, because that is what our youth are missing. They don't even know what love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they need.
Yes, sir.
And you said that so beautiful, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Ava to jump in, because I do want to just give a special shout-out to the FOI. I really want to give a shout-out to the FOI for not letting our brother go alone. That you did have the brothers there because, you know, it was a memorial, but it was a serious, serious situation. And I just appreciate the FOI being on point, because we had our sisters there in beautiful garment, and you there representing the minister. So I'm glad the brothers did cover down. Yes, and the mighty, mighty MGT. Yes, we give
that's
a shout
right,
out.
Bro.
Somebody
that's
just
right.
hit me up. Yes, the mighty, mighty MGT was there.
That's right,
yes,
bro.
They are soldiers
that's
and
right.
vanguards as well. But I say that because what I think of. Yes, sir.
And let me say this to the MGT, because when we escorted our principal out, the remaining of the FOI, they stayed back with the sisters. And so when the shots came out, we immediately ran back into the venue to help aid the rest of the FOI to secure the sisters. And at that point, our whole spirit just changed, because we knew our general orders. We knew that our principal was our first point of egress, of getting out and getting to safety, but we also knew that the MGT, we had to defend and protect them with our lives. And so we went back with a certain poise to secure our sisters and to make sure that they were safe. And we followed all of our general orders. We made sure that the parking lot where they would have to go to get in their cars was clear before we moved the sisters out. And we got the sisters out of the arena safely back to the mosque, because our minister, he was calling, he's like, brother, where are the sisters? Where are the sisters? He was like, he was on me about the sisters, so we had to make sure that the sisters got back safely, and they did. And I want to thank all of the brothers that student captain Anthony J. Muhammad allowed us to work together on this detail. They did a phenomenal job securing our principal, student minister Mutakir, and most definitely protecting and securing our precious jewel, the mighty MGT.
And what you said there, Brother Kareem, is 2 points. There's 2 points. Memphis has a strong showing at the national training, so they train. Memphis always have a group of folks at the national training and also have a training in Memphis. But, Brother Mutakir, I appreciate the spirit that you had of the minister. Yes, we made sure that you were secure, but your first thought was, what about the believers? That's how the minister is. What about the believers? Can't go nowhere. What about the believers? So I just got to note that as I turn it back over you to Dr. Ava, because I think we got enough, or we got some good conversation, and we can go to wherever you want to take us right now.
Well, we've got people on the line who want to weigh in on this powerful conversation, and we want to start with Sister Ula out of Detroit, Michigan, and I hope she didn't get impatient with us or fall asleep on us, because we know we're in the second hour. The time goes by. Assalamu alaikum,
yes,
Sister Ula. Okay. Sister Ula, are you with us?
Wake up.
This is one of our regular callers, and sometimes you won't fall asleep. So are you there? Okay, we'll come back to Sister Ula. And we also have on the line tonight, who's very anxious to weigh in, is one of your top fishermen there, Brother Hoyle, is on the line.
Yes, sir. These some hard hitters, boy. I'm just sitting back and all praises be to Allah. We know about Memphis, boy. Hey, brother minister, what you talking about dance? You talking about? It's called juking.
Okay, juking, that's the name of that dance. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they do. They do juking on the toes and hopping. They call it the Memphis juking. So. I want to give you a little history.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, you got to spell it for us.
Yeah, J-O-O-K-I-N. It's a worldwide. It's
okay.
Worldwide. And
I'm sure my daughter knows about it.
Yeah,
okay.
I was telling the brothers, and I told Sister Ava, Brother Minister Mutakir, that cookie shop was one of my customers. You know, the brother got the every week get the paper from me. So that day before, I was there, and I delivered the paper to him, and he got shot. I used to see Dolph come up there a lot. And I used to work back in the day in the music business. I had a brother out of Minneapolis. We had a TV show called Backtrack Videos. And believe it or not, family, y'all didn't know this about Memphis rap. But did you know that EVE and MC Hammer and them used to come to this club used to be called No Name, some of the old school Memphis folks know. And I used to see personally EZE, and that's where Bone Thugs and Harmony started. They got the quick rap off of two rappers called Skinny Pimp and Al Capone. And that's where they got that style from. So but like the minister.
And also Brother Hoyer,
Brother
Hoyer, that's where MC Hammer got that dance called the Gangsta Walk from. So when he did the Get Buck dance, that was Memphis Gangsta Walking. That was Memphis Jukin slash Gangsta Walking.
That started at Club No Name. I seen them come in there. They used to tell us, don't say nothing when they come in, when we interviewed them. But we had Al Capone and Skinny Pimp on our show back then. But to get back to the meat of the program, the minister said 2 weeks ago that the niggerism culture and these record companies won't promote you if you're talking you know, unity and like, you know, public enemy. Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, they want you to, you know, be negative, and that's the only way they sign you. So, like I said, we got a ton of talent here, and a lot of our rap talent had to leave, you know, like some of my brothers had to go to Houston. Some of them had to go to Atlanta. I know Jazzy Faye personally, you know, he had to go to Atlanta. But now this new culture of recording artists, they start here. So a lot of rumors saying that they had a life insurance policy on Young Dolph and all of that. But and a lot of people didn't know that CCA, privatized prison, was started in Memphis, in Shelby County. So Memphis has, like Minister Mutakir said, we have a lot of work to do here because this is a majority black city. This is where King was killed. They know this is a powerful culture here. We got a powerful FOI here. We got a powerful minister. We got all the brothers, and they fight night, day and night to keep us dead. So we, you know, I look forward to working with Minister Mutakir. We can get this Stop the Killing, and maybe we can spread on to other cities too, this example, because this is something that's very needed. We got to make our communities a decent and safe place. But beautiful job, Brother Kareem, Brother Mutakir, and the brothers. And I thank y'all that nobody got hurt. And may Allah bless you all. Beautiful show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
All right.
Sister Ava, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to weigh in because when I look at what's going on with our brother Young Dolph, I wasn't familiar with his music, but I know my daughter was, and she was commenting on how he has so much positivity to him. But you know, she was like, you know, they have to layer it today because you can't just come out and be, like, super positive because nobody's going to listen to you. And, you know, and his death is so tragic. It reminded me of the Source magazine and going back in time when all the rappers, you know, a lot of rappers were murdered or they went to prison, like C Murder. I remember when he went. I remember No Limit, Soldier, you know, Master P and all that. So just to kind of see this cycle. And I just wanted to say, so that's why I kind of led off with the story about the prison and how they think about our young people because they hate them. And they've been abusing them for so long under our watch. You know, we didn't really know. So just in, the last thing I wanted to say, so when Brother Dolph is giving back to the community, that's his reputation, it's because he know the community needs so much. You know, they so many needs that these young people have been through, like a war zone. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there and pray for your city and the young people in that city and all around because, you know, there's this situation going on in many of our cities.
Yes, ma'am.
These tragedies. Yes, sir.
No, that's a 100% saturation. And I wanted to ask, too, what is the thinking of the black community as to what the specific circumstances of Young Dolph's killing and who is actually responsible?
Well, they have, and I don't want to put some of the names out that they are saying from another rapper's camp, if you will. They were saying that. And I asked them, when I talked to the minister, Dr. Abel, he asked that question. And his question was, well, who benefits from the beefs? You know, because it's always for us with the rappers and others, it's some kind of beef. And now in today's culture, it's a big thing to have beefs. And they have these beefs where I remember when Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, quote unquote, had a beef, but they went in the boxing ring and made a whole lot of money, and that was the end of the beef. You know, I ain't had, you know, so they doing it to sell a fight, but in our community, it's like people take it personal. So I think that that's where we need to go. But he asked that question, who benefits from these beefs? But to answer your question more specifically, they were talking about another camp of rappers and saying that that camp had something to do with the murder of Dolph. Now, we didn't have any evidence from the police or anybody that's given us any of that. So we don't have actual facts, but that's the tone in the community. That this other rapper and Dolph had beef, and based on that, That's how this thing got where we are.
Yes, sir. You know, and also when Sister Pamela mentioned, and it brought back up in my mind, I had meant to ask about that too, that, you know, in Islam, there are no coincidences. Nothing just happens. And so it's interesting, you know, like Nipsey Hussle and other young black astute and giving artists end up getting killed all the time. And, of course, we know that oftentimes it's the police themselves that are behind the murders. You know, we have here in Chicago, you talk to black people in the so-called hood, and they'll tell you, you know, there's snipers up on rooftops, okay, in the black community. And they'll just shoot somebody in the street because the record here is almost perfect that when someone's gunned down in the street, there's no suspects. Somebody in a black hoodie drove off in a white car, okay? And then it just fades to black, you know? And, of course, we know that our young people in the so-called ghetto, which, as the minister said, these are colonies that we're roped into, you know, with this invisible fence. But for the most part, we're contained. And they don't have any resources to really go anywhere, okay? You know, this is not like some big bank heist and some white boys and they fly to the Fiji Islands after they commit the crime. You know, a lot of our youth, you have so many young black people in Chicago, they've never seen Lake Michigan, never saw it before.
That's true.
Okay, they don't go off their block. You know, so
right.
How are you going to tell me you can't find them? You don't have any suspects. And then they blame the community. You know, you need to tell us who did. Wait a minute, you're getting paid.
Right.
Where's CSI? I was in the process. I was in homicide, a prosecutor. Okay, where's CSI? You don't, you know, you need to tell us who did it. Well, in most homicides, they're solved by evidentiary investigation.
Right.
You know, looking for, you know, gun casings and, you know, ballistics and blood type and all of that. That's how you solve those murders. You know you saw them do it. How are you going to tell us what we saw? But This is what we have to free our people from. All right, is this consistent surveillance and intrusion? And there's no way on earth you're going to ever convince me that law enforcement in Memphis, they either know about it or they were part of it.
But we're too
poor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To do this kind of stuff and get away with it. But go ahead, Brother Minister.
No, I love what you're saying, because in 88, I was in D.C. with Mayfair Mansion and the Dope Busters. And
come on,
we
now.
Went
come
into
on.
The community. We went in the community and cleaned that community. And they told us that the Jamaicans was coming from New York to deal with us because we were messing with the Jamaicans' money. So we were calling, we had the brothers that came in from Richmond and Virginia and other areas that came in because in our mind, the Jamaicans were coming. And one day, Brother Sharif was talking to the minister, and this is probably 3 or 4 days later, and the minister said, well, brother, how long does it take to come from New York to D.C.? You know, because they had us thinking all these people were coming. They never showed up. But what we did see, to your point, I saw a sister get in a police car with an open can of beer, one of them big cans of beer, drive halfway down the block, and then she got out. See, and we learned that they were involved in the drug trade over there. And so those things like that, we don't know, we didn't know at the time that that was the case, but we learned that that was the case, that in that area, it was other hands involved, not just black people, So I love what you're saying because, you know, so we're not smart enough to build our community, but we're smart enough to shoot somebody and get away with it. Now, I think that
right.
We don't know how to harness or unite ourselves, but we're smart enough to do something like, oh, and be on TV because they have video of these brothers who shot dogs. So I'm sure that they could trace down to see who they are affiliated with or associated with and all of those things. So we haven't heard anything, but I think that you're right, that it could be other hands involved in this that we don't know, especially a man that's an independent artist and some of the dreams and things that we heard about him, what
yeah.
he was getting ready to do, those things. That,
come
so
on.
Now this man is thinking, like you said, like Murder, Inc., Unlimited. See, he's thinking like that now. And he's proven that he
yeah.
can do it because of what he's done already. And lo and behold, he could have gave those ideas to somebody who do not want to see those things come into fruition.
And Dr. Ava, it's
especially
you
when I heard about him buying property and
mm-hmm.
building up a portfolio for his children, you know, because one of the key tools used against us financially is forcing us to start all over from nothing
mm-hmm.
with each generation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as the minister said, you can't inherit a job. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't leave my children a job. All right. Children benefit from, first and foremost, real property, from land,
mm-hmm.
you know, being
mm-hmm.
passed on, investments being passed on, businesses being handed down. And so there's this constant redistribution of wealth that's going on. You know, every time a black company succeeds and becomes very powerful, it's broken up, it's sold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when they come
mm-hmm.
and they say, I want to buy Motown, that's like Michael Corleone telling Mo Green, the Corleone family wants
offer.
To buy you out. It's not an
mm-hmm.
offer. It's not a friendly mm-hmm. invitation that you even are allowed to turn down. When they tell you,
mm-hmm.
we want to buy Essence Magazine, okay? We want to buy Ebony. The one building on North Michigan, on Michigan Avenue, owned by a black person, John Johnson, Ebony and Jet. And then that next generation, they get caught up in the whole integration thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just spending
mm-hmm.
the money and enjoying life and not having a sense of the historical significance. You want to keep that if for no other reason than the history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but
mm-hmm.
but that's that mindset that we're not going to relieve ourselves of until we take over, as we're constantly told. We have to have land and feed ourselves, and we have to control our children's education. But regardless of everything, since we know we're the winner, we see it happening. I'm glad Will Smith put Richard Williams' story on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
he did what Master Farid Muhammad's father did.
Come on,
you know,
come
he
on.
Decided what kind of babies he wanted to have. Okay, I want two females. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a plan out. So regardless of his, well, not regardless of the lack of a formal education, thank God he didn't have one, because
yes,
it would have killed his creativity
mm-hmm.
and his genius.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I loved his attitude, his posture, and he wasn't letting anybody make him deviate from that plan. We see the results, you know.
That's right.
But
and Dr. Yeah. Ava, I wanted to jump in here and to bring another side of this story that we really haven't even touched on. I think is very key and important. I think the age of Nipsey Hussle was 33. Nipsey Hussle was in the streets. Nipsey Hussle
yes.
had great relationships in the community amongst the gangs. He was loved
mm-hmm.
not by only the gang culture, but he was loved by the people, the real
mm-hmm.
people, not just whatever, he was loved by the people. As we remember, Brother Abdul Saeed, Brother Abdul Malik Saeed said that when he heard about Nipsey's murder, he went to the store. Preacher was asking him, can he help them to say a prayer? You know, he was like, hey, you know, the gang members didn't want him there. But he had to be able to allow, you know, it was him to allow them to come to do a prayer, meaning that they didn't have the love of the streets, right? And I'm saying that because the people just love Nipsey. And Nipsey had vision. Like I say, it wasn't just, you know, just his store, but he was doing the STEM for the children, the playgrounds, and all of the things that he was contributing and that he was about to do, the currency,
that's
the
right.
knowledge.
Yes,
and when he sold his album, and he sold his album for $100, he said, what, you crazy? Who are you to sell it for $100? That's not the price. We sell it for $10, $12, $20. You can't sell it for $100, but he did it because he went independent. He did what he felt what he was worth. And I'm just saying that he was 33 when he got killed, murdered.
That's right.
We're now looking at
yes,
young
sir.
Dolph, who had not
Come on,
the
Brother
love
Kevin.
Of just the upper echelon. He had the love of the people, the downtrodden. And when we listen, oh, my God, I love the minister. Man, you're just all, huh?
Come on. Now.
I love the minister because when he talk about our rappers, and he loves them. And he gives them guidance. So when you look at a young Dolph and then his manager talking about he only had the family in the network and he did for the people, he touched the
right.
people with his riches, that's a dangerous person because he didn't take his money just to flaunt. He had the jewelry, but he was giving back and giving a view to the people. So when the people hurt, not just the label mates, but the people were hurting. I remember having tears over Nipsey Hussle, and I didn't even know why. And because of the
That's
impact
right.
that he was having for the people, and I'm just saying that he was 36, young Dolph, just 36. And when we look at Jesus, how old was he?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just thinking about that. And so when we're looking at the minister, and he knows who he's looking at. So that's why I said, what would the minister have said when he was sitting in their audience? He sees something deeper in us that we don't even know the greatness. So what was in young Dolph,
right.
you know, and that's why this show is so critical. It's more than just a rapper. So if people get caught up in the rapping and the music, though, you're missing that there was a God in young Dolph that was doing
that's right.
stuff
and
that nobody else could understand.
One of the things that I tried to say, Brother Terrence, was this is an evolving human being, you see, because people like him, like Dolph and others, see, his words is kind of, some of them was raw, but you know, many of our hip hop artists, they're like mirrors. See, you can get mad at the mirror because it shows that you kind of fat.
Love
you know what I mean? Something in your nose or something. You can get mad at the mirror, but all the mirror is doing is reflecting what you really are. Then the second thing was, I hear some music that's from song or something. The music.
Yeah,
the
I don't know what
brother was involved.
Yeah, when he stopped. Hold on 1 second. Blog Talk is trying to trip. Yeah,
you talking
Blog Talk.
Right
we got hold on. Hold on, God's going crazy on Blog Talk. They had to try to stop it. They can't stop Farrakhan. We are Farrakhan. Boy, you done made me hype, man. Come on, Brother Minister. Go say what you're going to say.
Oh,
because you hear that. You hear from the conservative community, if you will, the senior community, that they like to talk about his lyrics and certain things that he said, you know, and so I just try to say to like Dolph was like a mirror. You know, you can get mad and break the mirror, but that don't change the reality that you're fat. You know what I mean? Or you're ugly or whatever it is that the mirror is reflecting on you. That doesn't change that reality. And those rappers are just reflecting the ugliness of this society. However, they don't always stay the same. They evolve. You know, so there's a man that started out saying things a certain way. But Dave, I remember listening to Prince. Went to his concert. And Prince said that, you know, this is the senior Prince now, a little older. He says, some of these songs I'm not going to sing. If you like those songs, you can go and buy those songs. But I, in my evolution, in words, if you will, I can't play those songs, even though I recorded them when I was younger. And I remember Eddie Murphy said he cringed over what he did in Raw. So he did that, but he wouldn't do that, I say in words today, because of the evolution of our people. And we lose too many of our young ones, like Dolphin now, before they can mature in their evolutionary state to show us what God has really put in there. I was impressed with the things that I heard about this young man. I didn't know a whole lot about his rap and all of that. But as I begin to hear, I'm totally impressed. And what those young brothers on that video were saying, how he put them down on the rap business and all of that, I was impressed. This is a brilliant brother. Even though I'd have walked by him and we would have had a basic conversation, but a brilliant individual.
Yes, sir.
Who made millionaires.
Yes.
That's why he's there.
Yes, he was. And building,
reproducing
himself.
Called himself
Paper Route Empire. His company is Paper Route Empire. Man,
look,
I had one. I had a paper route when I was little, you know. Paper Route Empire, you know. So he was doing something that I think, in my judgment, as a minister said, who benefits from beats, I think it may be more to things like this than somebody with a beef with Dolph did something. I think some of the things that he was getting ready to do was doing, somebody had a problem with.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making, is that
it's
there just are no coincidences. That's bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back
mm-hmm.
to the phones. And we've got Brother Michael, who has a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Michael.
Well, alaykum salam, brother, sisters, and everybody on the panel. How y'all doing this evening?
We're fine,
sir.
Thank you for calling in.
That's good. Well, what I did want to say as an artist myself, what the brother did say is right. You know, we do have a tendency to record the ugliness that goes on the streets that we see, you know. And at the same time, he did say, you know, that we do have an actual right to change as well, you know, especially when we see the error of our way. So that's the dilemma that we've been facing as artists, because a lot of us put so much work in, and this is just the terms that I'm using because I'm an artist, put so much work in and making what we say believable, because that's what the people want. You might not even want to really rap about that, but you want to rap about something that's going to get to the people. So if this trapping and the stuff that's going on in the streets is going on, then you might have your rap in that form, but some people, they don't make it extreme as others. Some people don't live the life. Some people do. So this is the dilemma. And then when it's time to change, this is when the people, and just like you said, you know, Young Dolph having the type of influence, the type of love that he had in the city because he came back and wanted to do something for the people that supported him where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
Him coming back and wanting to do that type of stuff. Now, when he raps, he still says what he says, but he has kind of like another dimension to it, you know. So just like the brother said, you know, he got a spiritual side to him. You know, he might have gotten a hold of the knowledge itself. He might have gotten a hold of the wisdom and started putting some of that in there, started trying to talk to his people about some different stuff, you know, even though he did come from the street. So being that, and with that being said, that's what makes these brothers beautiful. And just like you said, that's what makes the teaching so beautiful, because you can go and you can touch something that nobody else wants and never cared about with this message. And then the next thing you know, they just take those steps and they become something that somebody else can look at and say, you know what, I want to be like him. You know, Malcolm, you know, the ministers, the top student of the class. You know, and everybody else that's come up under him, that's changed their whole lives. I mean, that's what makes it so important. And brothers like Dolph, who still do something for the people, even though he might have been trying to struggle with figuring out what he wanted to do, but he still thought about his family, still thought about his children, still thought about his wife and made sure that they were taken care of if anything did happen to him. So sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. you know, for the type of love that
Thank
we do
you.
Have for our people, even though we can't show it like we really want to. So
that's right, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all I
yeah,
wanted to say. But thank you for the comment.
Yes, sir. Well, we don't realize, like you're saying, what an amazing people we are. And thank Allah, we're
mm-hmm.
starting to come out of that. You know, we're starting to embrace our beauty and our wisdom and the fact that we enjoy the favor of the Lord of the worlds. In fact, we are the descendants of the originator of the heavens and the earth. And that will prevail. But those of us who claim to have this knowledge, we're the ones who are moving too slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we learned
mm-hmm.
about how when a plane takes off, you know, you're fighting the gravitational pull of the earth to get that plane up in the air. Well, at least the way the white man constructs his airplanes. He has to overcome the force of gravity, and if he can do that, then
mm-hmm.
it will fly. And that's why, you know, you're sitting on the plane and you're feeling it rumble down that runway because he's got to get to a certain speed in a certain amount of time to get up. And that's what's wrong with us right now. I'm talking about those of us in the teachings. We have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. But Minister Farrakhan, he is immersed in this 24/7. Not sometime, not most of the time, all the time.
All the time.
And
that's
this
right.
is why he outdistances them every time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was chosen to be the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
For obedience. And those
that's
who
right.
are envious and jealous or worst of all, willing to be the white man's minion against us, They're coming down. They're coming apart. They're disappearing. The deck is clear. There's
yes,
one
ma'am.
Man standing.
That's right.
That's it.
And he is
That's
tearing
it.
This thing up. So imagine if we gave him some real help. We can
on,
end
man.
This
That's
thing.
Right.
You know, because our youth, they're a product of environment. He resolved. White people are still debating environment and heredity, and that question's been answered. Because they're slow. They got a 6-ounce brain. That's why we don't even need to be in their schools, because they take our children backwards. But environment trumps heredity. Allah
mm-hmm.
himself came out of an environment, the triple darkness of space. So, yes, our children, they use certain language. What other language have they been exposed to? Like
That's
you said,
right.
Brother
That's
Minister,
right.
you know, look in the mirror. You're looking at yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The human being
mm-hmm.
needs expression. So he needs a vocabulary mm-hmm. of words.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what differentiates us from the animals, not walking on two legs. You got two-legged animals. But our ability to reason, our ability to think, and our ability to speak language. But if we don't have an inventory of words, then when we get emotional, we resort to profanity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And this is
yes,
what
ma'am.
I tell the sisters. God does not recognize profanity. When you start with a wave of cuss words, you are disconnected from
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks Arabic.
Yes,
he already dropped down having to deal with English.
English, yes.
But look at the minister.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't
mm-hmm.
look down on any of our people. But as he tells me all the time, we hold our position.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll
That's
sit
right.
there
yes.
in any kind of setting, but he'll have his suit and tie on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dignified
yes,
because that's the best way to teach is by how you look and
mm-hmm.
how you act.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And not being judgmental.
You know,
but I thank you, Brother Michael, for that call. Thank you.
You know, Dr.
Ahead,
Ava, I think I was thinking, you know, when we went to the Dove program today, took the sisters, but we took a lot of young people. In our minds is a strong cadre of young people. And the thing that I saw, or that I'm seeing now, is one of the things I love what you said about maybe we are slow, because what we're going to have to do with us, among ourselves, is develop the ministries. The beauty of the ministries in the Nation of Islam is that it allows someone to come and operate with what God has gifted them with. And sometimes that's exactly, I think, in my judgment, is kind of where we are now. You know, one of the things that the minister told me, he said that he, and when he was in New York, he used to listen to the problems of the people. And the Honorable Elijah, it would wear him out so bad. Yes, one day he told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he told him, brother, I sent you there to teach them. And if you teach
that's
them, they
right.
can solve their own problems. You know, and
that's
this is what he
right.
said to me recently. So now, imagine if we would set up the ministries. And in those ministries, now when people have problems, there's somewhere we can send them that can help them to solve those problems. You know, and so that is like a drastic change that we have to make. And I can, the best example I can give now is when you did the tour, separation tour. And how people were
yeah.
talking about separation, and they wanted. But when you begin to give the nuts and bolts, the ABCs of separation, I was literally floored because it's like, okay, I never thought about it to that degree. Yeah, I want to do it.
Yes,
separation, let's go. But you start talking about how government is to be set up and those things, the corporations and those things that our people
yes,
don't know. So all of us have a learning curve now. It's with these ministries. So one of the first things I'm trying
okay.
to set up in the Monsters Youth Ministry and the Ministry of Health, because we have a strong group of nurses and some nurse practitioners in our month, so we want to set up the Ministry of Health. And this way, when
yes.
people come, they can, there's a perch somewhere that you can find somewhere where you can, I'm a engineer, okay, we have this over here. I'm just a brother, okay, well, we have this over here. I'm fighting with my wife, where we have a marriage ministry that deals with those situations that you come into contact, all based on this teaching that we have. So I think that you're right. I think that that's the new curve, and that's where we're going to have to go now.
Yes, yes, we have. Well, we're making that transition, to your point, from the mosque structure,
yeah,
which
yeah.
Is designed originally to teach and train us while we're living in Satan's framework. But now
mm-hmm.
it's time to come out of his framework. And in order to
mm-hmm.
do that, we have to have our own government.
I love it.
We
love
have our own
that.
God. We have a flag.
Mm-hmm.
We have a constitution. And now Muslims, as well as just the larger, the full black nation, the
mm-hmm.
nation is the 40 to 60 million descendants
mm-hmm.
of slaves in America. And it is happening. It's happening organically, but we have to move quicker, as you're speaking about, to set up the structure we were given. We were already given the framework, the blueprint. We just have to come together and do it. And that takes overcoming dislike that we nurse
mm-hmm.
for each other, and
mm-hmm.
the solution to that is self-improvement, the basis for community
mm-hmm.
development.
Community development.
Because as the minister said, once you know your divine purpose and you are moving in your divine purpose, you cannot experience envy or jealousy. You will never have envy or jealousy once you know what your purpose is. Because all
mm-hmm.
your joy is in that, fulfilling that. And then you're happy to see, and that's the minister. He admires achievement. He admires
excellence. Yes, that's right.
You know, he loves
mm-hmm.
it, and he sees it. You know, to y'all's point
mm-hmm.
about being in love with our rappers and the full community, you know, seeing him out there hugging brothers and sisters, he's always telling us, look for the
God
in your
yes,
brother and sister. Because
yes,
he's
yes,
there.
He does.
Now, some of us, he's harder to find than in others. Okay, so you just take a little more time. He's not as apparent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and it can get a little frustrating. But as Brother said earlier, look in the mirror first, you know, the man in the mirror, mm-hmm. the woman in the mirror. And that's what mm-hmm. that divinely revealed course is about, going inside the self and mm-hmm. and hooking up with the self-accusing spirit. And that's happening. You know, as you were saying, the people loved Young Dolph. They loved, because he was touching their hearts.
Yes,
he was
touching,
that's right. And somebody was watching that. And they can't have that, because your
yes, ma'am.
Job is to entertain, not to elevate, not
mm-hmm.
to convey to the people that hear you a better sense of love of themselves. No, we're not having that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
this is a beautiful opportunity. You know, as the minister says, those that we lose in this time, they're martyrs. They're martyrs.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, not somebody that died with COVID, and don't get me started on that, because there's a whole game being played with that now with these booster shots and vaccines. But it's anyone whose life is lost in the time of this great transition, this universal change, God bringing in his reality, then when your life is given or lost in the course of that, you're a martyr. And
yes,
and
ma'am.
Young Dolph is a martyr. That's what he
That's
is.
True.
And we'll be speaking of him and his children and their children and others. They'll say his name for way past the average lifespan of living in this
mm-hmm.
horrific place
yes,
called America. Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things that they did at the end, it was a state senator. They set up November the 17th as Dolph Day or Adolph Thornton Jr. Day, a day of service, which I thought
yes,
was an
sir.
Excellent idea.
Oh,
that they're
yes,
going
sir.
To try to promote
right.
all throughout the city of Memphis, and I think it was also adopted in Atlanta or in Georgia.
Atlanta.
They were going to have a day of service on November the 17th, which I told
wow.
the believers that we're going to definitely be a part of that, because if all the churches and the organizations will just clean up where they are or find something that they can
Look
do of service
that.
In our community, a day of service. And so I think that that's excellent. But they enacted that at the end of the program. Yes, ma'am.
All praise is due to Allah. All right, we got another person from Memphis, Tennessee, who's such a great help in the Project Separation. And now we're in phase two, building our promised land. And so we showcase the brothers and sisters, black people across this country who are acquiring large parcels of land and doing everything from dairy farms to produce to setting up places where black people can just come to relax, ride horses, have weddings and birthday celebrations. Of course, there's a new town in Georgia, very close to Atlanta, called Stonecrest. And
mm-hmm.
we have Brother Louis Ali, who comes on this program out of Baton Rouge. He himself is a contractor, a builder. And he is very close to the gentleman who is now the mayor of Stonecrest, Georgia. He actually went before the state assembly and went through all of the laws and requirements. And, of course, we know that you can become a town with a very small number of people, because when people hear about the new Stonecrest Mall, which we covered very extensively in the Final Call newspaper, that you think about, oh, this is a wonderful commercial establishment, but it's more than that. It's actually a predominantly black town that was just formed in the last couple of years. So the separation process is taking place, and Sister Donna hosts that program once a month on Zoom, where we showcase land acquisition in real time. So Sister Donna, assalamu alaikum. Good to have you on.
Wa alaikum salam. Praise is due to Allah. Wonderful to be on. Thank you for your words, and a shout out to my student minister here in Memphis. And a special thank you to Brother Kareem, who really functioned well in his protocol duties. And he made it so easy for me to get done what I needed to get done for the final call. So I'm really appreciative of that.
My pleasure.
There's much I can say about the program that I won't in the matter of brevity, but I want to circle back around to something that you brought up in regards to motive and the killing of our brother. In the course of carrying out the duties of conducting interviews for the final call, I did ask family members and others, you know, what their thoughts were or had police given them anything. And many of them said no. One said it was, you know, just kind of flouting. But interestingly, I talked to a nurse who also happens to be an MGT. And she said, well, wait to see what's going to come out down the road, because she said the two shooters now setting the scene where he was shot. The bakery is a popular black bakery in Memphis, and it's on a very busy street right up from the airport. So we're not talking about some vacant lot or something like that. It's a very busy thoroughfare. And it's interesting how at the memorial the next day somebody was shot, and they caught that person right away. Now, these two brothers, as the brother said, was on camera. But she's a nurse, and she told us that those shooters was taken to two different hospitals. They were shot back, and they died. And she said, you watch and wait.
The two shooters
out,
that killed young Dolph?
Yes. And she said, you wait and see, because they're holding it. Because I'm thinking about what you said about the police and the snipers. She said it's suppressed because when it comes out, they'll be able to just wrap it up neatly and either say we've never been able to find them or they're dead. I said, wait, you're saying the two shooters? I said, how were they shot? And I don't know that there was somebody else in the car with them, but she was like, they took them that same day to two different hospitals, and those men died in the hospital from gunshots themselves.
Interesting.
Isn't it
so
interesting?
So we're
going to
see how this plays out and comes out in the media, because they have allegedly, how do you not catch somebody? It's a busy thoroughfare, and they can just race up out of there after firing assault-style weapons. But then you catch somebody the next day that shot at the memorial right away. So I thought that was very interesting, and I'm like, well, that really starts to add up, because, you know, people do get worked on in the hospital that the general public may not know. So if they're not letting them know that they're gone, but that's what she shared with me. She was like, no, ma'am, same day, those shooters was taken to the hospital, and they're dead.
Wow. So
and
so,
I absolutely
Donna,
find it hard to believe that they were. Sir?
No, I'm pausing because I'm like, do you know what you just dropping on Sister Ava? I know we get exclusive. We always get exclusive on Sister Ava, but that's a little bit way beyond exclusive. That's some,
That's earthy,
that. That's heavy right there.
That's
I'm to have been able to attend as well. Grateful to see the brothers and sisters out, the words of student minister Muthakir, the reception that we received, the connections that we received. And I just want to close out with this. In one of the interviews, when I was talking to somebody that's close to Young Dolph that Brother Kareem put me with, and we were addressing conflict resolution and the Stop the Killing and what we have to do. And I found it interesting because the brother said, he said, oh, we have to return to God. That was his response. He's like, it's not going to stop until we get right and return to God. And this brother got gold teeth down, all of that, draped up jewel, you know, like Brother Terrence said, we have to look beyond everything. And he went right to the heart of it. He's like, we're not going to come up out of this until we return to God. He was like, we got to get right.
Because that's who we
and
are.
And so that was beautiful.
That's right.
And I thank you for the opportunity. And I'm asking everybody to tune in. The flyer will be out for Project Separation next Tuesday. And we will have the mayor of Stonecrest as our guest, along with Brother Louis Ali. So you don't want to miss it. And you'll see the flyers coming out.
Yes,
and information is spreading around. We want everybody to participate. So I thank you all and the wonderful staff of Elevated Places Network. May Allah bless you all in this mighty, mighty work. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam, man.
She just did a Kareem moment. She did, and not you, Kareem, but it's a young brother that comes on and he drops him. Drops the mic, and just gets right off. I mean, she just dropped some powerful stuff.
She did.
That was.
No, go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Okay. Yeah, she just dropped some powerful stuff. What she just stated,
yes,
because that's very, very interesting, because the way I saw this when this happened and what you just relayed, Brother Terrence, about how you get the comparison as it relates to Nipsey and young Dolph. Dolph being 36 and Nipsey being 33, and they both did a work of Jesus in the streets like Jesus did in the streets.
Yeah.
And a brother made a parallel. He said, this is interesting over the death of these two, because the Christians believe that Jesus died at 33 and Nipsey died at 33. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that Jesus died at age 36 and Dolph died at age 36. And so we saw that this is a sign of the Messiah. This is the sign of the minister's departure, because if we go back to the announcement, the vision experience, the minister said at the end, when he mentioned that not only was this an attack on Gaddafi, but this was an attack on the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, and black youth. Now look at what's happening in the country that has escalated from Memphis with the murder of Dolph. Killings and murders have escalated throughout the city, and now Memphis is considered the most dangerous city in America. But not only Memphis, go to the West Coast, in San Francisco and Oakland, where they have this campaign in the streets of grab and smash, where they're robbing and breaking into Louis Vuitton stores in L.A., they're just grabbing and smashing and killing. So death and killing among our black youth is at an all-time high. It's at an all-time high in Philadelphia. And so what is this killing going to provoke from our government? Is it going to provoke what the minister said that would happen in the announcement of the National Guard coming in and being and bringing the bloodshed on our communities? Because if we can't stay the violence in our communities as leadership, then it calls for the National Guard to come in. What is this really a sign of?
Man, Kareem, I'm going to have to put a pin in it because you just dropped a bomb, but we at 1 minute, but that's everything that you just said. No, seriously, but we just at that time. We might do part two.
Reality check.
Dr. Ava?
Yeah, that's a reality check. And remember when they asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this plane you're speaking of, when is it going to go into action? He said, when you make a move on us. And don't forget, the minister told them, if you try to force this vaccine on us with your armies, because that's what they want to do. He said, it's a declaration of war against us all. But I really am so grateful to all of you, Brother Student Minister Mutakir, Brother Kareem, my co-host, Brother Terrence, Sister Attorney Pamela, Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister Donna Muhammad, all that called in, and those who callers I couldn't get to, we thank you so much. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.